Now, I'm going to give five things this morning, line upon line, precept upon precept, and everything I'm going to say is worthy of your undivided attention because it's God's Word and it's God's truth. So I'm going to speak this morning God's message that He wants you to hear at this hour on this day. I want to give five things. The first thing I want to say is what I've already said. Rejoicing is a command. A command. A command. Rejoicing. God says, rejoice! Do it! That's what He said. Do it! Rejoice! It's a command. And He said, again, I say, rejoice. It's a double command. When my mother used to say to me, Jack, and I wouldn't come then. She said, Jack Frazier, I wouldn't come then. Jack Frazier Hiles! That means it's time to come. So, because she said it three times. You mark it down. You know that God does not give the Ten Commandments over and over again in the Bible? Some of the great commandments in the Bible are not given but one time, or given only one time. But in this particular commandment, it's given twice in one verse. Rejoice, that's God's command. Now, then He said, and again I say rejoice. Now, listen to me now. I'm preaching to young ladies back there. I'm preaching to all of you now. I want you to hear what I got to say. There's too much griping in the world. There's too much griping in this church. There's too much criticism in this church. I could name two or three people right now that live in the negative all the time. I can tell you people that just love to find somebody that's fallen so they can make a file on it and keep it in their file. But boy, listen, I want to find somebody that hasn't fallen and rejoice about it. I want to find some good things and praise God about them. I don't understand these people that hear a preacher preach on chapel of the college and criticize. I don't stand that. Stand it at all. God didn't say rejoice if you want to. God said rejoice. It's an order. The commanding officer of our army, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has said to you, you're supposed to rejoice. It's a command from Almighty God. I don't understand this negative stuff. I don't understand this down-in-the-dump stuff. I don't understand this melancholy stuff. I don't understand this disillusioned stuff. Brother, the God of heaven says, rejoice! And if you are not rejoicing always, you're living in direct disobedience to the command of God. Did you hear what I said? Direct disobedience to the command of God. And it's much a sin for you not to rejoice as you go over here and take a drink in Calumet City at one of these taverns this afternoon. Did you hear what I said? It's as much a sin for you not to rejoice as it is for you to cuss this afternoon. I'm saying, I didn't say it's as big a sin. I'm saying it is as much a sin. Listen to me, sailors. It is as much a sin. It is a sin. A dirty, black, stinking, rotten, filthy, putrid, sorry sin for you not to rejoice. That's God's command. All right, now that's the first thing. Rejoicing is a command of God. Now follow me carefully. Number two. Then we must be able to do it. God would not command you to do something that you cannot do. Somebody in the house, I'm addicted to lying. No, you're not. No, you're not. When God said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, He did not tell you something you could not do. Brother House, I can't leave liquor alone. Oh, yes, you can leave liquor alone. When God said, avoid the appearance of evil, touch not the bottle when it's red. When God said that, God told you something you can do. Brother House, I can't quit. Oh, yes, you can quit dope. God never commands you to do anything you can't do. And when God says for you to rejoice, it means that we must be able to do it. Listen, whatever else God is a reasonable God. God never asks us to do anything we cannot do. Unless it is within the possibility of our action, God does not ask us to do it. So God said, rejoice! Now listen, if you want to have a good resolution for 1990, you just resolve that you're going to rejoice next year. That you're going to rejoice all the time, always. That means rejoice when you're up, rejoice when you're down, rejoice when you feel good, rejoice when you feel bad, rejoice when you're well, rejoice when you're sick, rejoice when you have, rejoice when you have not, rejoice when you win, rejoice when you lose. It's God's command. And God, since it is His command, we must be able to. That means, hear me now, that means I can choose to rejoice. And you can choose not to drink. I've said this oftentimes. One of the security guards years ago at the house said to me, Brother House, I have a hard time with lying. How can I overcome lying? I said, that's easy. Just tell the truth all the time. How can I overcome drinking liquor? Just don't drink anymore. That's the best way. Now, I'm a little tired of people being amoebas and being vegetables. You are a human being. You have a will. And you can do right. I said you can do right. You don't have to do wrong. You choose to do wrong. You're not, listen, you don't sin because your mama didn't give you enough cod liver oil when you were a baby. You don't sin because your dad didn't take you to watch enough ball games. You don't sin because your dad didn't take you fishing enough. You sin because you choose to sin. Bible said, listen to me, for by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now listen to me, you said, Brother House, I have to be negative. I'd be ashamed of myself if I were negative. I mean that. I'd be ashamed of myself. I'd be ashamed if I'd rather tell bad news than good news. I'd be ashamed of myself if I couldn't any... Listen, you just give me 30 seconds to write down a few things that God's done for me, and I can shout on request. Just let me know when. And that means that when things are up, when things are down, when things are on top, when things are on bottom, I mean, you let me have 30 seconds to just think for a few minutes how good God's been to me, and I can throw a fit. Why? Because I mean this. I always rejoice. You say, hold it, preacher. Yeah, always rejoice. Yeah. You say, preacher, you mean when things aren't... Listen, for every one thing that goes bad in my life, I can list 1,000 things that are going tops. So I'm saying, God said it is a command, rejoicing is a command. Number two, then we must be able to do it. That means I can make myself rejoice, or God would not command me to rejoice. And that means that it is my fault if I do not rejoice. Is that right? If God says rejoice, and always, and again I say rejoice, that means I can. That means it's my fault if I don't rejoice, and it means that I can make myself rejoice. Now listen to me. God told you to rejoice. Rejoicing is just not only for preachers. Rejoicing is not only for full-time Christian workers. Plumbers rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Electricians rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Factory workers rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Secretaries rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Now that means that we must be able to do it, or God would not ask us to do it. Let me say again. Listen to me, sailor. Hey, sailors, that's enough talking for one day. Listen to me. What I'm telling you is the biggest sin probably in this room today. Probably the biggest sin in this room. Probably there's less rejoicing going on than any committing of any other sin in this room. Not many of you folks got drunk last night. You overate night before last, but or Thursday. But not many of you got drunk, and not many of you are living in any kind of what we call bad sin. But all sin is bad, and all sin is rotten, and all sin is filthy, and all sin God hates, and God hates the sin of not rejoicing. Number three, I said rejoicing is a command. I said number two, then we must be able to do it, or God wouldn't ask us to. Number three, then it is not caused by circumstances. Listen to me. It is not caused then by circumstances. Because I have no control over circumstances. If God says to me, rejoice always, and circumstances are not always what I would wish they were, then rejoicing is not caused by circumstances. You get a raise in pay, and you're happy about it, that's not rejoicing. That's happiness. Happiness comes from the word happen. Happiness is when something good happens to you, you feel good, something bad happens, you feel bad. That's happiness. But this is rejoicing. This is joy. This is joy that anybody can have because God commands us to have it, and also it is not caused by circumstances. And I'll guarantee you this. The people that have the circumstances rejoice the least. You just drive up and down any city in America, and you start in the poorest section of that city, and you go all the way to the most expensive houses in that town, and I'll guarantee you, you'll find more rejoicing in the poor neighborhood than the rich neighborhood. Why? Because rejoicing, Bible rejoicing, is not caused because of what you have, or what you are, or what you've got, or what you've received, or what's happened to you, how many friends you have,
how much money you have, that doesn't cause it. It is not caused by circumstances. Listen, a dollar bill never made one person rejoice. It's made some folks happy because it means happiness. Somebody gives you some money, it makes you happy, but that's not joy. Joy is that which you can always have and you're commanded to have, and you're a dirty sinner if you don't have it. It's not caused by circumstances. That means it's not caused by others' treatment of us. It's not caused. I'm sorry to say this. I've said this often, but I'm not going to let you have my joy. I will let you increase my joy, but I'll not let you create my joy. I've told this again and again across the country and time or two here. I preached one night in Greenville, South Carolina, for Dr. Harold Sattler. Now, you've never seen anything like that. Unless you've been there, you've never seen anything like that. That's the wildest bunch of Indians you ever saw in your life. The charismatics think they're too undignified. And you wouldn't believe it. I preached that night on a Monday night years ago. And I, first part of my sermon, a fellow jumped up and they're waving their handkerchiefs and hollering and screaming. And a fellow jumped up and said, "Whoopee!" He ran right down the center aisle. He pulled that communion table out, the one they had there, pulled it out about in the middle there, and all the time I was preaching, ran around that table, hollering, praising God, had his hands like that, jogging around that table, and praising God all the time I was preaching. The next night, I preached in Barrie, Ontario, Canada. By the way, I'll be in Barrie, Ontario, Canada, God willing, tomorrow night, Tuesday. But I preached in Barrie, Ontario, Canada. In Barrie, Ontario, Canada, they do not wave their handkerchiefs while you preach. In Barrie, Ontario, Canada, they do not run around the table while you preach. In Barrie, Ontario, Canada, they do not laugh when you say something funny. They write ha-ha on a piece of paper. They don't cry when you say something sad. They write boo-hoo on the back of a ha-ha. Somebody said, "Brother Hiles, did you have a hard time preaching in Barrie?" "Oh, no. Don't you mean after preaching in Greenville where they responded like that? And you went to Barrie and they sat there and looked at you like a cow looking at in a new gate and didn't smile, didn't laugh, just looked at you. Didn't you have a hard time preaching?" "No, I didn't have a hard time preaching." Why? Because my joy doesn't come by a guy running around a table. My joy doesn't come by amens, though I like them. It may increase my joy, but the presence of my... I'm sorry to say this, but I was as saved in Barrie as I was in Greenville. This Bible is just as real in Barrie as it was in Greenville. I had as much a time preaching in Barrie as I did in Greenville. Why? Because I have a joy down in my heart. Not here by the senses, not here by what I have, not here by what I get, not by what I feel, but because of the inside of my soul, Jesus lives in there, and I have God's joy on the inside. Not caused by circumstances. For example, I don't care if you stuck your tongue out at me right now. All of you. It wouldn't affect my joy at all. It'd affect yours. Wouldn't affect my joy. I hate to be unkind to you, but I don't give a flip what you do with your tongue. And I dead sure am not going to let my joy depend on your jaw muscles or your tongue. Not going to do it. I'm simply saying God says rejoice. Rejoice. And that means if that be true, then we must be able to do it. And if that be true, it is not caused by circumstances. Its degree can be caused by others and circumstances, but its present must be caused by you. You must decide to rejoice. Always. Number four. If I said, rejoicing is a command, and if I said, We must be able to do it then, or God wouldn't have commanded us to do it. And if it is not caused by circumstances, then, here's the sermon, rejoicing is an act of the will. Did you hear me? Rejoicing is an act of the will. The reason you're a critic is because you choose to be critical. The reason you're always against something and nitpicking is because you choose to nitpick, but you can choose to rejoice. It is an act of the will. Look at Philippians chapter 4, if you would, again. Chapter 1. Verse 18, read it a while ago, it's my text. Page 1258, Philippians 1:18. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Get this now. And I therein do rejoice. And here's my sermon. And will rejoice. Now, how could Paul know he's going to rejoice in the future? He said, I rejoice now. And he said, I will rejoice. Well, how does he know he's going to get a raise in pay? He didn't rejoice because of raises in pay. How does he know folks are going to be his friends? He rejoiced because he had friends. He rejoiced because of Jesus. And he said, I do rejoice and I will rejoice. Check on me tomorrow. Check me out tomorrow. I'll be rejoicing tomorrow. How do you know? Because I can rejoice if I want to. You can't keep me from it. Yeah. You can't keep me from it. No, you can't. No scandalizer can keep me from rejoicing. No critic can keep me from rejoicing. No enemy can keep me from rejoicing. No. You check a month from now, and I'll be rejoicing. You check a year from now, I'll be rejoicing. Paul said, I rejoice, and by cracky, that's in the Greek, and by cracky, I will rejoice. It is time for you to say, I will too. I will. I'll rejoice tomorrow. I'll rejoice next month. I'll rejoice next year. You just call me any day and I will be rejoicing. Why? Because rejoicing is an act of the will. You can choose in the morning to get up or stay in bed. First thing they sang in my class this morning, a bunch of teenagers sang. I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. Well, here's my version of that. I woke up this morning feeling sad. I woke up this morning feeling bad. But you decide. I'll get up or I'll stay in bed. That's up to you. You decide what you eat. Hear me now. Listen to me, young ladies. Listen to me. Again, I say listen to me. And again, I say listen to me. And I will say listen to me. You need what I'm saying. This is life or death. You wouldn't have to go to your psychiatrist if you listen to what I'm preaching this morning. You wouldn't have to go to your psychologist if you listen to what I'm preaching this morning. You can be happy. You can rejoice. And God said it is an order. You do it. And that means you can do it. And that means it's not caused by circumstances. And that means it's an act of the will. I therefore therein do rejoice and will rejoice. You decide what you eat for lunch. It's up to you. You can eat this or this. It's up to your will. You decided this morning to go to church. You could have stayed home. It's up to your will. Now listen to me. You choose to rejoice or not to rejoice just like you chose to come to church this morning. You choose to rejoice or not to rejoice just like you decided what to eat for breakfast today. Rejoicing is an act of the will. Paul said, I will rejoice. John, on the Isle of Patmos, exiled, rejoiced. Isaiah, with stones hurled at his face and blood streaming down his face, rejoiced. Stephen, being stoned to death, rejoiced. Paul, in the Philippian jail, rejoiced and sang praises to God. He chose to. Paul and Silas did. Paul, in jail, At Rome, when he wrote the book of Philippians, a prisoner in Rome, Paul said, I rejoice. I, a prisoner. I, a Baptist preacher in jail, he said. I rejoice. I do not know what's going to happen, but you mark it down. I will rejoice because rejoicing is an act of the will. Oh, I wish I could get this through to you. All right. I said, number one, rejoicing is a command, a double command. I said, number two, then if that be true, we must be able to do it. It must be within our power to rejoice. If that be true, then rejoicing is not caused by circumstances. If that be true, rejoicing is an act of the will. I made some, what Paul is saying, I made some joy this time, I'll make some joy next time. Any time that you want to, you can make some fudge. Any time you want to, you can pop some popcorn. It's up to your will. And just as sure as there is a recipe for popping popcorn or making popcorn balls or making fudge or making a chocolate pie, there is a recipe for rejoicing, and you can make some rejoicing any time you choose to rejoice. And if you don't rejoice, if you don't rejoice, it's a sin. I'm thinking about a man right now. If he knows who I'm talking about, it doesn't bother me a bit. Probably the most negative man in this church. And by the way, not against me. He loves me. But the guy is almost addicted to being critical. You won't be around him 5 minutes. If you're alone with him, well, he'll criticize somebody. He's not a bad man. He's just unhappy, man. I want to say to him, why don't you obey God for a change? You're so busy criticizing adulterers, you're sinning yourself. You're so busy criticizing drunkards, you're sinning yourself. You're so busy criticizing preachers who've fallen, you're sinning yourself. The God of heaven says, rejoice, rejoice. And you're as dirty a sinner as those folks you criticize. I'm simply saying, why in the name of common sense, if your name is written in heaven, if Christ lives in here, if the Holy Spirit indwells you, if God is your heavenly Father, if Jesus is your Savior, if heaven is your future and the rapture is your hope, why can't you think of something good to say for a change? Now then the question comes. Well, let me say number five. Number one, rejoicing is a command. Number two, then we must be able to do it. Number three, then it is not caused by circumstances. Number four, it is an act of the will. Number five, you must learn to make yourself rejoice. Let me give you two suggestions. I could give you 100. I'll give you two. Number one, when things are bad, think what's on the way. Let me read you two scriptures. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What does it mean? It means when you are afflicted in this world, it's just for a moment. As far as eternity is concerned, your burdens are just a moment. And they make for you a far more exceeding glory later on. Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. That means that every trial is a prophecy of a blessing. You want to know how to have fun? I've had fun this summer. You say fun? All you've been through? Fun. Rejoiced. Rejoiced? Yeah. How? I'm supposed to. And I'm not going to sit around and blame circumstances and have little hurt feelings and have pity parties when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by His Spirit, lives in my breast. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are lit up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me. And so all summer long I've been saying, wonder what's coming. Wonder what's coming. I wonder what's coming. Because the Bible says the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. The Bible says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That means when you're having it bad, when the clouds are low, and the midnight has come, that means, brother, something's going to happen to you that's better than anything you ever happened to you before. My telephone rang, and a man on the other end of the line said to me, I'm going to put every sermon you preached at First Baptist Church of Hammond, and we've been taping the sermon since 1970, and it looks like we may have found, I did not know it, we may have found all the way back to 1959 when I was a kid preacher. I found last week that he's probably going to put all these sermons in leather bounding, cowhide bounding. When I put the phone down after I got that call, I said, that's it! That's what I've been waiting for. That's the surprise. That's the good thing. I am simply saying the person here this morning who has it roughest is going to have it the bestest. So rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice because something, the more you're suffering, the better it's going to happen to you. A far greater thing will happen to you that'll make you laugh far more than you've cried. Rejoice because something good is on the way. You know what it is, but bless God, it's coming. Number two, I love it. James 1:2 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And that word temptation means also testings. Count it all joy when troubles come. Now that word count is an accounting word. It means calculate it. What does it mean? Sorrow plus difficulty plus hardship plus opposition plus depression plus discouragement plus heartache equals joy. That's what it says. Count it all joy. All joy. Then say count the good part joy. Count it all joy. When you fall into diverse testings and trouble comes and heartache comes and illness comes and enemies come and difficulties come and sadness comes and a broken heart comes, he said, count it all joy. But Lord, I don't understand. He didn't say understand it all joy. He said, count it all joy. I can't figure it out. He didn't say, figure out all joy. He said, count it all joy. You look at that burden you're carrying this morning, look at it carefully and say, I can't see it, but somewhere in there is joy. It's in there. I count it joy. I count the illness joy. I count the heartbreak joy. I count the loneliness joy. I count the suffering joy. I count the pain joy. Count it all joy. It's in there somewhere. Third, not only think what's on the way, count everything as joy, but thirdly, think who's here. Think who's here. You check the appearances of Jesus in the Bible. Jesus never appeared to anybody when they just inherited $10 million. Jesus never appeared to anybody when everybody was well and healthy. Where did he appear? He appeared to Stephen while he was being stoned to death. Where did he appear? He appeared to John on Isle of Patmos while he was exiled for the gospel and the ministry of the word. Where did he appear? He appeared to Joshua just before he went into the land to possess the land, to fight the battles of his life, to take over the land of Canaan. When did he appear? He appeared to the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, while they were in the fire. That's where he appeared. And bless God, if you're in the fire this morning, Jesus is there. So rejoice. Rejoice. So quit your whining and rejoice. Cancel your pity party and rejoice. Quit feeling sorry for yourself and rejoice. It's a command of God. You're a sinner and sinning if you don't obey it. I want to tell you something. Do you know why people will listen to me witness that won't listen to some of you? You know why when I'm on the airplane and I witness to somebody, 99 times out of 100 they listen to me? You know why? Because they won't listen to rejoicing. Go back to the 126th Psalm. Don't turn to it. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Then we said, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we're glad. And then it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What's God's divine order? One, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. We can't believe it. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Hey, sinners, you've talked enough this morning. Set up. I'm going to come back here and bust your lip. Now, listen to me carefully. They rejoiced because they were delivered. Would you like to know what they are doing when they wrote this song? They're traveling 500 miles by foot and by beast, which means the guy was riding on his wife's shoulders. Just want to see if you're out there still. They're traveling by foot and by beast. They had no houses. Are you listening? They had no houses. But they said when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we're free of captivity. We're no longer slaves to the Babylonian people. We're on our way home. Now they didn't have hot and cold running water.
But they said our tongue was filled with laughter. Our mouth had laughed, our tongue was singing. They didn't have an apartment or condominium or a house. But they said then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. They did not have jobs, but they said then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Well, what made them happy? They were delivered. Free! Delivered! On our way home! Bless God, I am free! I've been saved! I'm redeemed! I'm God's child! I'm on my way home! So I'm going to rejoice. Now, no houses to live in, no cars to drive, no grocery stores, nothing much to eat, a long journey by foot of 500 miles or more, going back to a land that was torn down or to rebuild a wall that was destroyed, to rebuild the temple destroyed, to rebuild their houses that were destroyed. And yet they said, we're singing. Our mouth is filled with laughter. They were, ha, 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 ha. People come to First Baptist and say, I don't believe in all that laughter. Shut up, shut up, shut up. You get right with God and you laugh too. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Now, what's the next line? Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. Why? Because they were singing, the Lord is in His holy temple. No, they were on their way. For 70 years, we've been in bondage, and now we're free. That's enough to make anybody rejoice. If you're a child of God, you've been freed from the bondage of the devil, bless God, and you're on your way to heaven, it's enough to make you rejoice. I don't care how much you have or don't have, how many friends you have or don't have, what the circumstances are, how much money you make or don't make, what kind of job you have or don't have. You have been free, and the old world's watching us to see if we're rejoicing or not. We walk up and knock on a door and say, hello, have you been redeemed with the blood of the Lamb? Have you been regenerated with the Holy Spirit? And they'll slam the door in your face, and I'll help them. But you walk up and say, how are you today? My name is so-and-so, and I just come by to tell you the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me in the world. Could I tell you? Listen to me. I promise you this is the best news you ever heard in your life. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them, whereof we're glad. Rejoicing is a command of God. If you don't rejoice, you're in sin. I think God spread some scandals about folks that don't rejoice. Like you folks that don't rejoice spread scandals about people who commit other sins besides what you commit. Some of you guys, and I'm not for anybody running off with somebody else's wife, but the only reason some of you guys haven't is you're not good looking enough for anybody to run off with you. Some of you gals as ugly as homemade sin. I'm not for any of that at all. But I'll tell you what, I'm not for people sitting in judgment and criticizing and nitpicking and griping and frowning and complaining and scandalizing. Bless God, I'm for Christians who obey the command of God. Rejoice! Rejoice! And again I say, rejoice! Paul said, rejoicing is a command. That means you must be able to do it. That means it's not caused by circumstances. That means it's an act of the will. You decide whether or not to rejoice. And that means you must learn to make yourself rejoice. It'll transform your life if you'll say with the apostle, I do rejoice. And I will, an act of the will, I will rejoice. Some of you wives of college students, quit your griping. Rejoice because you're saved. Some of you college men, quit your griping. Rejoice. Some of you critics by nature, born in the objective case, in the kickative mood, rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice! 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 And again I say, rejoice! He said, make some joy. When you get that made up, make another batch of it up. I Jack Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church at Hammond, could, if I tried today, find a heap of reasons to complain. But I will not. Because I rejoice. And check on me anytime, any day you want to check on me. Check on me. And I will be rejoicing. It's up to you. Be a gripe. Sailors, I'll ask you one more time to listen to me. Not all you guys. Most of you guys are not making any noise at all, except when you snore just a tad. But these guys on the front are misbehaving. I, Jack Hiles, could, if I chose to today, complain or criticize. But I choose not to. But I don't have any control over circumstances. No, but you have control over your rejoicing. God would never have told you to do something you can't do. Sit up straight. Look at me and let me tell you some commandments of God. Thou shalt not steal. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Thou shalt not kill. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. It's up to you. Be a crab all your life. Be the kind of person that when people think about you, they think about a critic. Or you can be the kind of person that brings joy into everybody's life whose path you cross. It's up to you. It's within your power. It's up to your will. Would you bow your heads, please?